everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Visiting the post office in the United States can be both a chore and a new experience to practice English. In this 5-minute English lesson, you are going to hear a true story about my grandma. I'll use her true story as a canvas to expose you to a bunch of new vocabulary related to this topic. By the end, you will be prepared for your next trip to the U.S. Post Office and for any situation in which you need vocabulary related to mail, sending letters and cards, packages, and anything in that realm. So this is a topic-specific lesson. It will be advanced. Don't worry, though. I've created a full lesson that goes alongside this audio to help you out. The supplementary lesson contains an image sheet with pictures of all of the key vocabulary discussed, a video for you with those images to practice your pronunciation, as well as many exercises and quizzes. As a language learner myself, this will be incredibly useful not only for the comprehension side of learning, but for the retention side as well. We all want to remember what we learned, right? So you'll find the links for the premium content in the episode notes. I think a lot of you will relate to this story. If you do, I'd love to hear from you. You can write a comment on Spotify. You can write to me on Instagram at American English Podcast. Or, I'm so excited about this one, you can send me a real postcard. Yes, real mail, real post. I want to decorate my wall in my office with postcards from you guys. I got this idea from my friend Pete, and I want to use it as sort of a reminder why I create this podcast. It's because of all of you, and I'm excited to see if I receive anything. So stay tuned to hear the address. It's at the end of this episode, and you can also find it in the episode notes. Without any further ado, I'll begin with an introduction. Then you'll hear the 5-minute English episode with all of the intensely topic-specific vocabulary. And then at the very end, you're going to hear the recording one more time. Don't miss listening to it the second time around. That is going to be a great way to pick up vocabulary you didn't pick up the first time, reinforce the words that you understood from context. Just listen to the end, all right? My grandma, Maria, was Spanish. She was born and raised in Spain in a small town called Sonseca in Castilla-La Mancha, or should I say, the land of Don Quixote. Sonseca is small. It's teeny tiny. I mean, it's to the point everyone knows everyone on the streets. For some, that familiarity sounds like a dream. For others, it's a nightmare. My grandma, well, she wasn't meant for a small town. In English, she was what we'd call a big fish in a small pond, meaning her dreams and ambitions didn't fit in a town of a few thousand with not much to do. She had an adventurous spirit and a travel bug. So at the age of 19, she left and became an au pair in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. Au pair is a French loanword we use in English. It's essentially a nanny, someone who lives with a family and takes care of the kids. She was an au pair for an American family who taught her about the culture of the United States and they helped her master English as a second language. She loved English. So after returning to Europe, she used English as a tour guide in Madrid and spent her days sharing Spanish culture with Americans. One day, she met a very tall Michigander, my grandpa. Together, they traveled the world, got married, and had kids. The point is, they eventually settled in the U.S., far, far from Spain. You may be wondering, what does this have to do with the post office? Get to the point. Hold your horses. I'm getting to it. So my grandma's story sounds like a typical international love story, right? But what Hollywood doesn't tell you about international love stories is that they're bittersweet. There are always friends and family members left behind. My grandma was one of six girls, and as she got older, she craved a stronger connection with them. The problem was, international flights to Spain were not in the family budget. International calls were too expensive and reserved for special occasions like Mother's Day and birthdays. Email didn't exist yet. So she wrote. She wrote postcards and letters. She sent pictures of her kids and eventually her grandkids. In her lifetime, the United States Postal Service was her lifeline to the people she'd left overseas. Let's begin this 5-minute English lesson. My grandma permanently moved to the United States from Spain in the 1950s, and the only way she could afford to keep in contact with friends and family was through writing letters. Flying and international calls back then were not in her family's budget. In a way, it's sort of sad. Sending letters through the USPS, the United States Postal Service, is called snail mail for a reason. In comparison to email, which can be sent and received in seconds, letters can take a while to arrive. Waiting for snail mail, so standard post or standard mail, led to a lot of anticipation. When the mailman brought my grandma handwritten correspondence, or letters, from her sisters, she was thrilled, and rightfully so. Unlike junk mail, ads, or flyers that fill up our mailboxes and end up in the trash, personal letters are meaningful. They require thought and time to create. Handwritten letters make you feel special? My grandma was on a mission to make her sisters and mother feel extra special. After all, this was pretty much the only way they communicated. So she bought beautiful stationery, such as decorative paper, pretty envelopes, stickers, and nice ink pens to make her letters look pretty. She didn't do calligraphy with an ink pot and quill, but she wrote her messages in cursive, so with beautiful, connected letters. Her handwriting was a sign of the times. Back then, penmanship classes were a thing. Today, however, many Americans write in print, each letter separate from the next. Even though print is more legible, it's easier to read, cursive looks more elegant, doesn't it? My grandma wrote her messages in cursive. After she filled lined paper or her beautiful stationery with stories about her life in the U.S., she folded the sheets nicely and placed them in an envelope. Then she would address the envelope to the recipient, either her mother or one of her sisters. Under their name, she would write out the delivery address, and up in the corner, she would write the return address in case the letter got lost in the mail. As a kid, I noticed how those Spanish delivery addresses look different from what I was used to. In the US, we typically use only 3 or 4 lines when we address an envelope. On the first line, we write someone's first and last name, perhaps their title if it's a formal letter, such as Miss, Mrs., Mr., or maybe even Doctor. On the second line, we write the street address. The street number always comes first. For example, the first Starbucks in the world is at 1912 Pike Place. If there's a suite number or apartment number, it goes after the street name. On the third line, we write the city, the state abbreviation, and the zip code. Starbucks is in Seattle, comma, WA for Washington, 98101. The zip code, those numbers at the end, always go last. 3 simple lines. If we're sending something overseas, then we'll add the country on a 4th line. USPS was created in 1775, and today it's an independent agency of the US government. For the past 10 years or so, they've worked with companies like Amazon and UPS to help deliver packages. One promise they make is to deliver post anywhere in the United States, no matter how remote. Yet, some people who live in Timbuktu might get a P.O. box, a post office box, which is a locked mailbox in a post office. That's to ensure their mail arrives safely. The U.S. Post Office offers other services as well. They can file a change of address for you. They can get you a money order, which is great if you don't have a U.S. bank account and you need to pay someone by check. At some locations, you can even apply for a passport. But what they're most famous for is mail. How do you send mail in the U.S.? Well, mail can be dropped in a big blue collection box. You'll see them around town. It can also be mailed directly from home. My grandma lived in a house, and like many houses in the U.S., she had a mailbox out front. Whenever she wanted to send a letter, she set it inside the mailbox and raised the red flag on the side to let the mailman know there was outgoing mail. She didn't live in an apartment building, but if she had, there might have been a communal area with a slot to leave letters. Every letter, of course, regardless of where it's sent, needs a stamp, which is a small, square, or rectangular-shaped sticker placed on the corner of an envelope to show you've paid for that letter to be delivered. My grandma always kept a booklet of first-class forever stamps on hand, which is smart. Once you have them, they retain their full value forever. Traditional snail mail isn't always ideal. If something is time-sensitive or urgent, it'd be smart to head to the post office to take advantage of their priority mail options, which come with insurance, tracking, and a speedy delivery time. If you're sending important documents and want proof of mailing and delivery, you can send certified mail. That's common with legal documents. On occasion, my grandma sent care packages to Spain, filled with treats and homemade gifts. She'd buy her shipping supplies directly at the post office. They have packing tape and cardboard boxes, bubble wrap and padded envelopes, all to make sure your fragile items don't break in transit. When she was done packing up her care package, she didn't stick 100 stamps on the front. She bought postage. Who knows how much she spent on postage back then? International shipping rates have increased significantly in the past 50 to 75 years. Actually, a lot has changed in that time. Today, we have technology and we don't need letters. We don't need postcards and nice stationery to communicate with friends and family that we love. We can send a text or an email, but that's exactly why I think we should send letters through the mail, through regular post, snail mail, whatever you want to call it. You know someone really cares for you if they send you a handwritten letter. Am I right? You can be the one to do it. That's the end of this extra long 5-minute English episode. I get carried away sometimes, but I hope you don't mind. I got a little emotional thinking about my grandma waiting for the mailman, that look of excitement on her face, thinking that she might get a letter from her sisters or her mom, and how disappointed she probably was when there wasn't a letter. Maybe there wasn't that much drama in real life. Maybe I'm just inventing these visuals in my head. In any case, I just want you guys to think about the people that live far. Maybe send them a letter. Think about it. Anyway, my grandma and I were kindred spirits. Very, very similar. On that note, if you want to help me decorate my wall with a postcard from your country, maybe from the city you live in, I'd be over the moon to receive your postcard in my P.O. box. I'd be so happy. You can write to me, Shauna Thompson, on the first line, S-H-A-N-A, last name Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N, second line, P.O. Box 9074, third line, Asheville, comma, NC 28815. And remember, on the fourth line, you put the country. So United States, if you are currently living outside of the United States. I'll also put the address in the episode notes. I'm going to play the audio one last time. Remember, this is advanced, so don't be discouraged if you don't understand everything. Do the best you can. If you want an image sheet with pictures of the challenging words, a pronunciation video, the annotated text with downloadable files, then check the links in the episode notes for the premium content or visit AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Let's hear the audio one last time. Here we go. My grandma permanently moved to the United States from Spain in the 1950s. And the only way she could afford to keep in contact with friends and family was through writing letters. Flying and international calls back then were not in her family's budget. In a way, it's sort of sad. Sending letters through the USPS, the United States Postal Service, is called snail mail for a reason. In comparison to email, which can be sent and received in seconds, letters can take a while to arrive. Waiting for snail mail, so standard post or standard mail, led to a lot of anticipation. When the mailman brought my grandma handwritten correspondence, or letters, from her sisters, she was thrilled, and rightfully so. Unlike junk mail, ads, or flyers that fill up our mailboxes and end up in the trash, personal letters are meaningful. They require thought and time to create. Don't handwritten letters make you feel special? My grandma was on a mission to make her sisters and mother feel extra special. After all, this was pretty much the only way they communicated. So she bought beautiful stationery, such as decorative paper, pretty envelopes, stickers, and nice ink pens to make her letters look pretty. She didn't do calligraphy with an ink pot and quill, but she wrote her messages in cursive, so with beautiful, connected letters. Her handwriting was a sign of the times. Back then, penmanship classes were a thing. Today, however, many Americans write in print, each letter separate from the next. Even though print is more legible, it's easier to read, cursive looks more elegant, doesn't it? my grandma wrote her messages in cursive. After she filled lined paper or her beautiful stationery with stories about her life in the U.S., she folded the sheets nicely and placed them in an envelope. Then she would address the envelope to the recipient, either her mother or one of her sisters. Under their name, she would write out the delivery address, and up in the corner, she would write the return address in case the letter got lost in the mail. As a kid, I noticed how those Spanish delivery addresses looked different from what I was used to. In the U.S., we typically use only 3 or 4 lines when we address an envelope. On the first line, we write someone's first and last name, perhaps their title if it's a formal letter, such as Miss, Mrs., Mr., or maybe even Doctor. On the second line, we write the street address. The street number always comes first. For example, the first Starbucks in the world is at 1912 Pike Place. If there's a suite number or apartment number, it goes after the street name. On the third line, we write the city, the state abbreviation, and the zip code. Starbucks is in Seattle, WA for Washington, 98101. The zip code, those numbers at the end, always go last. 3 simple lines. If we're sending something overseas, then we'll add the country on a 4th line. USPS was created in 1775, and today it's an independent agency of the U.S. government. For the past 10 years or so, they've worked with companies like Amazon and UPS to help deliver packages. One promise they make is to deliver post anywhere in the United States, no matter how remote. Yet, some people who live in Timbuktu might get a P.O. box, a post office box, which is a locked mailbox in a post office. That's to ensure their mail arrives safely. The U.S. Post Office offers other services as well. They can file a change of address for you. They can get you a money order, which is great if you don't have a U.S. bank account and you need to pay someone by check. At some locations, you can even apply for a passport. But what they're most famous for is mail. How do you send mail in the U.S.? Well, mail can be dropped in a big blue collection box. You'll see them around town. They can also be mailed directly from home. My grandma lived in a house, and like many houses in the U.S., she had a mailbox out front. Whenever she wanted to send a letter, she set it inside the mailbox and raised the red flag on the side to let the mailman know there was outgoing mail. She didn't live in an apartment building, but if she had, there might have been a communal area with a slot to leave letters. Every letter, of course, regardless of where it's sent, needs a stamp, which is a small, square or rectangular-shaped sticker placed on the corner of an envelope to show you've paid for that letter to be delivered. My grandma always kept a booklet of first-class forever stamps on hand, which is smart. Once you have them, they retain their full value forever. Traditional snail mail isn't always ideal. If something is time-sensitive or urgent, it'd be smart to head to the post office to take advantage of their priority mail options, which come with insurance, tracking, and a speedy delivery time. If you're sending important documents and want proof of mailing and delivery, you can send certified mail. That's common with legal documents. On occasion, my grandma sent care packages to Spain, filled with treats and homemade gifts. She'd buy her shipping supplies directly at the post office. They have packing tape and cardboard boxes, bubble wrap and padded envelopes, all to make sure your fragile items don't break in transit. When she was done packing up her care package, she didn't stick 100 stamps on the front. She bought postage. Who knows how much she spent on postage back then? International shipping rates have increased significantly in the past 50 to 75 years. Actually, a lot has changed in that time. Today, we have technology and we don't need letters. We don't need postcards and nice stationery to communicate with friends and family that we love. We can send a text or an email, but that's exactly why I think we should send letters through the mail, through regular post, snail mail, whatever you want to call it. You know someone really cares for you if they send you a handwritten letter. Am I right? You can be the one to do it. All right, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. I have one last challenging question for you. What travels around the world and stays in the corner? Do you know? A stamp. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.